which is the time and place scheduled for the pre-hearing conference in the third mitigation plan. And so who do we have on the telephone? If you'd identify yourselves, please.
Fritz Hammerly from Rangan Director.
Thanks, Fritz.
Pat Brown for Busters.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Anyone else?
Morning, Director. This is TJ.
Thanks, TJ.
This is Linda Lemon for the Thousand Springs Water Users. Travis was unable to make the phone call today.
Thank you, Linda. Looking through the long list.
Robin Rowley from Rangan.
Thank you, Robin.
Gary Lemon for Boynton Canyon.
Thank you, Gary. There's some other folks who are listed here. Let me just go through to make sure. I'm just looking at the mailing certificate. Maybe I should be looking at a list of parties. I'm not sure I got that here. Let me just go through. So I had John Simpson, Travis Thompson, Paul Arrington, and I'm assuming, Linda, you're standing in for... I'm assuming we didn't have a Surface Water Coalition or somebody else involved, so... Pat, you're here. And Marjorie Michaels, she's not participating, I guess, today. Marjorie? Tom Arkush?
No, you're on here. Pat, I'm working at EZ.
Okay, Pat. Let's see here. Well, oh, that's right. Marjorie Michaels would be associated with Musser, right?
Yeah, she's a trustee of Musser Trust.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't connect it together. And then Tom Arkush. Tom's not on. Kathleen McKenzie. And Brett McKenzie. They're not here. We're not participating. Jamie Martin. Jamie and Catherine Martin. Not here. Gary Lemon, Blaine Canyon. And it's a courtesy copy to Rob Williams, so they're not participating. Okay. And then here in the central offices of the Department of Water Resources, I'm Gary Spackman, Director of Department of Water Resources. Justin, we'll just go around the table.
Director Justin May on behalf of Rangan.
Garrett Baxter here for the Department of Water Resources.
Jimmy White, I need a VR.
Okay, that's all of us. We scheduled this status conference or scheduling conference on the request of the parties, as I recall. And TJ, I think you submitted the request. And I think there are some documents that have come in. Can I defer to you, TJ?
Yeah, that'd be just fine. Okay. Director, as you know, when we filed our third mitigation plan, it originally had a handful of different components. There was a proposal to pipe water from Aqualad to Rangan. There was also a recirculation proposal. And then there was also part of the plan was to use water in the Sandy Pond to conduct recharge. And the proceeding has narrowed a few different times and eventually focused on the Sandy Pond aspect of the third plan. And then earlier this month, a stipulation was filed by all of the parties that stipulates to certain components of the Sandy Ponds project, if you want to call it that, or the Sandy Ponds mitigation. And essentially, the parties all have agreed that they're not objecting to the measuring devices that SPF has proposed, as long as the department's satisfied with them. But they are preserving their desire and ability to protest whether groundwater districts get any mitigation credit for recharge that happens at the Sandy Ponds. And so we vacated it, requested that the hearing be vacated, which was granted, and that was for a couple of reasons. One of them was just to, I think, provide us some breathing room. As you certainly are aware, Director, there's still a lot going on in various forums with Rangan, and it's sometimes difficult to stay on top of everything. So we did request that the hearing be vacated. I believe that request was granted. And so I think for the purpose of our status conference today, our objective, from my perspective, should be twofold. One would be figuring out when we want to schedule a hearing on this remaining issue of whether any mitigation credit is warranted. And then the second issue that we have to bring up is who remains interested in this issue. I believe that many of the protests were initially concerned with the Aqualife proposal or the improvement of the current tunnel of some of those, and I'm not sure how many of those folks still desire to be involved, but it may help to narrow that down while we're on the phone today.
Director, if I might.
Yeah, here.
This is Garrick Baxter. My understanding of the procedural posture of this case is a little bit different. I think we did at one point vacate the hearing, but after a subsequent status conference on October 21st, 2014, we issued a scheduling order that the parties had agreed to a hearing date of February 18th and 19th, 2015. So I think if my notes are correct, that's kind of where we're at, and the question is whether that gets vacated here based upon the stipulation.
Yeah, so I think my recollection is similar to Garrick's, although I agree with TJ essentially about what the parties have agreed to, which is we did submit a stipulation earlier this month for the purpose of vacating the hearing. My recollection is similar to Garrick's, that has not actually been ruled on yet, and so I guess one of the first things we'd like to request is that hearing be that's scheduled be vacated.
This is TJ. Garrick, thanks for clarifying that. I'm just going back through my files, and that's correct. I don't see that stipulation has been ruled upon, so I apologize for my mistake there. Thanks for that clarification.
And while Garrick was speaking, I was just looking through the file and through the summary of documents, and I didn't find any document that would have vacated the hearing, so I think we consistently understand the present status of the matter. And so I have reviewed the stipulation. They have not reviewed the measurement plan, if there is one out there. I think we've received one, but, and I don't know how that's titled or characterized. And I think staff's looking at the measurement plan right now, is my understanding, Garrick.
Yes, Director, that's correct. Tim Lucas had an opportunity to review the measurement plan. His statement to me is that it's mostly acceptable. He does have some questions and comments with regards to the measurement plan, and also wants to have additional staff review it to ensure that his review is technically correct. He anticipated that he would need an additional 2 weeks to be able to have staff review that and have written comments back to the parties. But again, he said overall he does believe that the concept is mostly acceptable.
So we want a little more time internally to review that plan, and the review will not only include an analysis or at least some kind of check to see if the measuring devices that are proposed are consistent with measuring devices that we approve and that we find to be accurate, and then perhaps the ways in which measurements will be conducted, maybe the timing of them. I have some concern about the third paragraph of the stipulation and whether the multiple measurements will need to be made can give us an accurate representation of what seepage is. But we'll have to include that in the analysis. So.
And Director, just from our standpoint, I think that was the basis of the stipulation was that as long as the department does what you're suggesting and approves it, that Rangan doesn't have an objection to the measuring devices themselves.
But if the proponent of the mitigation plan is asking to have the hearing vacated and doesn't feel that there's an urgency about me conducting a hearing, then I'm willing to vacate the hearing, allow the review by the Department of Water Resources to proceed. Then I don't know what you want to do about coming back at some later time to, and I'm asking this question of you, I guess, TJ, to request mitigation credits once the department, if it does, recognizes and approves the measurement plan. And then I suppose IGWA will have to start measuring and recording the measurements and calculating what the changes in seepage are in that sandy plain.
Director, this is TJ. I'm getting some feedback from one of the other parties who's on their phone, so I had a little bit of difficulty hearing, but I think if I understood you, you were suggesting that you're willing to vacate the hearing and then allow the department to go through this process of completing their review of the measurements, and I assume through that we'll reach some consensus as to what's acceptable, and then later, based on activities that actually occur, IGWA can make a request for mitigation credit at that time. And that's certainly what we anticipated. I don't think we're in a rush to get a hearing. We need to, our objective is to have measuring devices in place this spring so that we can actually track how much water goes in and out of the ponds. And then, you know, next fall or next winter or something like that, we can request mitigation credit based on what actually occurs.
And then you would bear the responsibility, TJ, of requesting that a hearing be scheduled again. Leave that up to you.
That's correct.
And I'll expressly state that the department will not reschedule or will not schedule a hearing for the third mitigation plan until IGWA expressly requests that we schedule it in writing.
Director, it's for Tamerly. I think it's helpful to specify how these measurements are going to be made available to the public as well.
That's a good point. I don't know what the measurement plan says, so I don't know whether it contains any of that kind of information or not, or whether it's just technical in nature.
And Director, I would just like to say, I mean, it's our understanding that it's just the measuring devices that are being dealt with now. The purpose of the stipulation was that there would be a request, as you said, at some point by IGWA for some kind of credit, and then Rangan and the other parties would be able to come in and object to that and in due course, object to giving any credit or how that credit is calculated at the time that they actually make a request for some credit.
I don't know what you want, Fritz, in terms of disclosure, publication. We can certainly include
some. Well, our concern, Director, is that things that come out of the sandy ponds, you know, Frank Irwin has always testified, I think that those things have been made off limits to him. I think he's under that vague impression. It's probably something that needs to be dealt with at some point in time.
Director, this is Garrick. I kind of disagree with the characterization of Frank's testimony. I've been there in his depositions, and he was told by Director Dreher Director Dreher didn't anticipate that he would have regulation of the flows that come down from the point of diversion where Musser pulls his, or not Musser, but Morris pulls his water out and the flows go through the ditch. Now, that's what the previous director said. I think part of the components of this mitigation plan talks about who's going to be undertaking those measurements, and to the extent that the water district is the one that goes out and does the measurements, I would anticipate those would be made available just like any other measurements associated with the water district. So I think that's can be addressed through the department's comments.
Is that what the plan proposes, that the water master conducts the measurements?
My recollection is that the plan talks about IDWR taking some responsibility. I think that's part of where Tim's comments were going to focus on. So I anticipate specific comments on this issue from the department that would clarify how they are going to expect the measurements to take place.
Let me just come back to you, TJ. We're getting some feedback through the telephone, through somebody's. Sounded like there was somebody on an intercom or a PA. Might be helpful if that's going on if you mute your telephone.
This is Pat Brown. I'm in a deposition with a doctor. We're in the hospital, so it's the hospital PA coming on. I apologize.
Okay. Well, come back to you, TJ. I don't know what IGWA wants to do if the disclosure of that information is part of the measurement plan or not. I suspect it's not, but it seems to me that IGWA would want to make that information available to everyone, and it wouldn't be something that was proprietary or hidden. So, but I guess I leave that up to you, TJ, immediately.
Yeah, that's fine. And our mitigation plan focuses more on the technical aspects, how you measure the water going in and out of the pond.
Right.
I think it refers to regulation only in a general sense, and our anticipation is once the department signs off on the measuring devices that those measurements would be reported by the water master just as any other water measurements. I do want to make one other comment here. As I'm thinking about the process moving forward, there's one concern I have, and that is that the measuring devices to put all these in, I don't remember what the estimated cost was, but it was not a small cost, it was quite significant. And as I think about it, I'm certain my clients would be unhappy if they spent all of the money on the measuring devices only to have the department subsequently rule that there'll be no mitigation credit granted. And so I'm thinking perhaps a modified procedure might be more appropriate, where we first work out any kinks on the measuring plan and get the department's approval, and then before we actually spend the money on the devices and put them in, we do hold a hearing to find out if the department will provide mitigation credits once the measuring devices are installed. And that's a little different than what I had mentioned previously, where I suggested we put the measuring devices in and come back for a mitigation credit request in the fall or something like that. I'm now thinking it might make more sense to have the hearing in advance of those devices being installed, which would mean setting a hearing sometime this spring. And so with those thoughts, I think my preference would be to go ahead and set a schedule for resolving any of the department's concerns with the measuring devices, and then following that up with a hearing schedule on whether mitigation credit may be granted once those devices are installed.
Director, I guess it seems somewhat premature to be talking about mitigation credit when we don't have any delivery of water or, at this point, any, you know, even water right available. It seems to me that flips the process a little bit on its head. There's nothing really to evaluate until they make a request for some kind of credit. We've got a hearing coming up, I think, next week on the issue of whether or not they're able to get a water right. My understanding is they don't have a water right or anything at this point, so it seems premature.
Well, I'm left with...
Go ahead. My concern runs along the lines of what Justin has said. My concern with TJ's proposal is, I understand I would be objecting theoretically to something
which I wouldn't find very useful. I think it would be better, you know, that we get the system in so that we're dealing with actual numbers rather than a theory of credit. Seems to me like that's much more efficient.
I can speak to that concern, Pat. We wouldn't be asking for mitigation credit at that hearing. What we'd be asking the department to do is to acknowledge that mitigation credit would be provided if we put in the measuring devices based on the amount of water actually delivered. So the first step would be for the department to say, yes, if you put in these measuring devices and you measure how much water goes in and out of the pond, we'll give you mitigation credit for recharge. Once we get that, if that approval is provided, then we would go ahead and put in the devices and measure the water and then file a request for mitigation credit based on the data. My concern is putting in the measuring devices at significant expense and then having the department say, well, we're not going to give you any mitigation credit one way or the other, so that expense was just in vain.
I think you're asking for an advisory opinion. I just don't think that's the appropriate way to proceed.
Okay, somebody else wanted to speak.
TJ, at what point are you going to contact DEQ and get approval of being able to recharge and show that you're not negatively affecting anybody else's wells in that close proximity to the Sandy Pond?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have contacted DEQ. This is something that I'm not personally handling, but SPF Water Engineering is handling, and they did report to me recently that they've spoken with DEQ, and they don't have to have a permit. We don't need a permit to do recharge there, but we will need to do a monitoring plan, and so SPF is working on that. That's one of their assignments, and that will happen in parallel with what we're doing before the department, but that is a separate agency that will be handling that.
And what's your time frame for that?
That's a great question. I haven't asked SPF what the time frame is, and I'm frankly not as familiar with DEQ's processes, so I'll have to find out, but I'm happy to ask them and report. Is this Linda?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'll find out,
and
then I'll let you know.
Okay, well, let's go back to the original question. Every other hearing that I've held for a mitigation plan, and I want to emphasize the word plan, has been a proposal to actively do something in the future. It has not been a proposal for us to accept something that is already in place. So whether it's characterized as advisory or not, at least from my perspective in the conjunctive management plan, we have to look at something that is the conjunctive management rules. We have to look at something that is a proposal, but the proponent of that proposal needs to bring us enough technical information to support the proposal and show us that, in fact, it's workable. And if there are problems as that plan is implemented, then those problems need to be addressed before we actually recognize the mitigation itself. And that mitigation may be adjusted, as happened during the last year, because of deficiencies in one way or another. So I'm willing to schedule a hearing as requested by TJ, but I don't know how soon we ought to be scheduling with TJ. May?
Yeah, that's fine. My only concern with May, Director, is that we would like to put major devices, install them before this irrigation season if the plan gets approved. What about early April?
Okay.
Director, can I just...
Director, this is Chris Kimmerling speaking. Part of these problems on these mitigation plans is we get so speculative without hard information, and then IGWA acts and says they act to their detriment, and we never have anything solid to talk about.
And Director, I guess the point I'd like to make to the last one that you have is if you'll look at the third mitigation plan, you'll see that there is no proposal with regard to delivering water. And one of the things that we're struggling with in this particular case is it's just a plan that says if we deliver water, give us credit. We don't know how much water, where it's coming from, what the plan is to deliver water. The only thing in the third mitigation plan right now are measuring devices. And so if we schedule a hearing in April, we're going to be looking at going to our experts and saying, give us an opinion. We can't tell you how much water is going to be delivered, when it's going to be delivered. We can't tell you anything other than IGWA is going to request some credit for some water that they may deliver at some point in the future, maybe. And then we're going to be asked to give an expert opinion on that, as to how much credit ought to be given for unspecified mitigation at some point in the future. And that's incredibly difficult for us to do. It's part of the reason why we entered into, again, the stipulation that we did in this case, which is the only thing we know about is the measuring devices.
Director, if I might speak to that, I don't understand that argument. We deliver mitigation at the Surface Water Coalition every year, and we get credit based on what we actually deliver. Some years that's zero, and some years that's a lot of water. We do conversions every year, and we know that we're only getting a credit based on what we actually deliver. And all I anticipate the hearing being very simple and very short. The question is, if we deliver a certain amount of acre feet of water to the Sandy Ponds for recharge, do we get mitigation credit for that? And Dr. Rockway is certainly capable of evaluating whether or not mitigation credit ought to be provided. And yes, we're not saying that every year we're going to deliver a certain amount. We're just saying if we deliver mitigation water and if we measure it and it goes in the ground, can we have mitigation credit for it? I just don't see that as a complex or difficult analysis for somebody like Dr. Rockway.
Director, we've got water that's going in there now. The question is, what water is IGWA going to be providing? What are they seeking credit for? Are they seeking credit for all of the water that goes in there? We don't know what it is that they're seeking credit for, or which water. And it's a difficult task to ferret out what's going on in this particular case. There's no detail.
All of the questions that you're asking, Justin Doe, can be addressed through submittals and through additional documentation and discovery. And so I'm still willing to schedule a hearing for the portion of the third mitigation plan that's still pending. And I'm assuming that, as I recall, the only portion of the mitigation plan that's still pending is delivery water, the Sandy Pipeline. The rest of it, do I misunderstand, TJ, is you're no longer pursuing?
That's correct.
Okay. And it might be helpful even, TJ, if we got a better statement of what's pending with respect to the third mitigation plan and more detail as Justin is suggesting. And it might further determine which parties are still interested in participating. So I guess I'm suggesting, TJ, that maybe there be some amendment, or do we have, I don't know if there's an actual amendment of the mitigation plan that more carefully sets out what, in greater detail, what's being sought. And then after the filing of that particular plan, then I'm willing to schedule a hearing. Maybe it's premature for us to do that today. And so I'm suggesting, TJ, that you amend the plan, that it comes into us. I'll vacate the hearing. And then at that time, let's look at it and let's let's see what we need to do to prepare for a hearing and the amount of time that's necessary.
Yeah, Director, I'm happy to do that. As a procedural matter, do we want to file an amended plan, or do we want to file just some statement of clarification of the plan? And the reason I ask is I don't know that anybody wants to have to republish the plan. Garrick, you may have to, maybe the best position to speak to this.
I think we want to avoid republishing. I think I'm going back through the files here trying to identify. I thought we had some documentation limiting it to just the recharge, but I can't find it at my fingertips at this point in time.
Garrick, I don't have it at mine either, but my recollection is that there is some kind of an order in the scheduling of the hearing. Not that the mitigation plan itself has somehow been limited yet, but that the hearing that we've got coming up is limited to that issue. I think that's subtly different, but I think that's what we have.
I think Justin's right on that, Director.
Director Fritz Hamerlin, I think that mitigation plan with respect to this issue merely requests measuring devices. I don't think that there was anything published to the general public indicating exactly how that's going to be used or anything else. So I think the original plan that was published was probably deficient for the purposes of which IGWA wants to move forward on. I can speak to that. The initial plan says that IGWA would put in measuring devices, we would measure how much water is delivered through the Sandy Pipe and have a recharge, and that we would request mitigation credit based on the modeled effect of those activities on the current tunnel. So the plan on its face states clearly that we would request mitigation credit based on deliveries. And I guess my proposal, Director, is that we set a date for me to submit a statement of clarification or something of that nature to clarify what remains in the plan. We can adapt, we can give other parties an opportunity to withdraw if they're not interested. We can set timeline for the department to review measuring devices and to finalize that. And I think we can go ahead and set a hearing schedule. I mean, we did have a hearing set for February 18th and 19th, so my proposal is to be pushing that off for 2 months until early April.
Okay, I'm looking back at the documents, and I find at least on October, we received a document on October 8th. It was signed, TJ, by you October 7th. And it's titled, "IG was a request for a hearing on Sandy Ponds / Sandy Pipeline component of the plan," and it's probably based on this particular request that we scheduled a hearing, and scheduled a hearing only for that part of the plan, but it still didn't clarify what the third mitigation plan is seeking in full, and I think the clarification would be helpful and would be probably a reduction in what was proposed initially, not requiring republication. And it probably also then would give some comfort to the parties who were interested in the other components of the plan. And I think that was delivery of water from, and which facility is it? I can't even remember.
Aqualife.
Back to Rangan. And I think that delivery probably with a proposal that in the publication that mitigation at least be recognized for all users on the Billingsley Creek system for that Aqualife delivery really raised the interest of many other users. So TJ, I think your proposal is a good one, to file a document and state exactly what is sought by the third mitigation plan and whole remove the portions that you're not seeking to pursue anymore, and give us some more detail on the Sandy Pond proposal, and then parties who are participating can react to it, and then let's see who we have and let's work forward to schedule discovery and arrange for a hearing date.
I
So what kind of time do you want for filing, TJ?
How about 1 week?
Whenever it comes in, we'll get an order out.
Okay.
And then responses to it. We'll call that out in some sort of scheduling order so that we ask the parties to respond to the reduced mitigation plan and whether they're interested in continuing to participate. So after the submittal, I'll ask the parties to submit documentation about their continuing interest to participate within 14 days of service of the document, and then we'll start talking about a hearing day and necessary preparations. Other matters the parties want to talk about? Anybody here? Justin? Derek?
No, Director.
Director, on the major device review, we can just take that as it comes, or perhaps you want to set some schedule for completing that. I'm fine with it either way, really, but that would be the other matter that's going to need to resolve here in the next month or so.
The submittal should coincide approximately. The submittal of the staff review should coincide approximately with the deadline for the parties to state whether they're still interested in participating in the contested proceeding. So you should have that document at the same time that we narrow down the parties who will be participating and the issues that need to be addressed for the Sandy Pond consideration. And I can set the same deadline if parties want me to. I think that gives staff enough time. Tim Luke said 2 weeks, right, Eric? And my timetable is 3 at least. 1 week for your submittal, TJ, and then 14 days. So I can call out the same date in scheduling order so there's certainty. Other questions? Okay, thanks everybody for participating. We'll be back here at 11 for another one, but we don't have the same parties participating. So we'll disconnect here and be back on at 11. Thanks.
Thank you.